Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Tuesday. Happy Hour Day. That's right. Patreon members, Care of the G Club members, don't forget, happy hour tonight at 5 p.m. Lambeau time. The information is on your respective pages. We'll talk about all things green and gold and probably some other stuff as well, including the U.S. bowing out in embarrassing fashion in the World Cup last night. But let's not belabor that point. Hope you're all doing well. Hello to everybody already chiming in the comments section. So good to see you all. Packers fans worldwide. That's what we're all about here at Cheesehead TV. Today, I did want to just highlight a guy who, look, I think somewhat weirdly enough, for as good as he is a bit taken for granted. Only been with the program for two seasons, and already it feels like he's part of the fabric of the Green Bay Packers, and that's Xavier McKinney. You guys know the safety position in Green Bay was in shambles only three short years ago. Big issues at that position for seemingly a number of years. Lots of attempts to try and fix it, but man, you talk about one fell swoop. One of the best signings Brian Gutekunst has ever made as general manager was the signing of Xavier McKinney. Perfect model. The idea of being, okay, here's a young ascending player who has had a very promising start to his NFL career. Obviously, that happened with the Giants. And for, you know, I guess a couple of different reasons, the Giants allowed him to hit free agency. And man, Gutekunst hit it out of the park with this signing. I cannot describe how great it is to have someone in the back end of the defense for Green Bay who is as good and as consistent as Xavier McKinney. I understand the interception numbers dropped off last year. There were a couple where definitely would have swung games if he had held on to a few more interceptions. But you talk about down in and down out, set it and forget it. For a team that's going to have a lot of question marks up front early on this season, not just because of the personnel, but also just trying to learn a new defense, getting everybody on the same page, making sure that back end is shored up. It is a luxury to have Xavier McKinney in the fold. You talk about a vet at this point in the prime of his career, playing at an incredibly high level week in and week out. What a luxury for Gannon, LaFleur, the entire coaching staff to lean on. I know we've talked about Zaire Franklin getting the green dot, but you talk about undoubtedly the leader of the defense, especially while they're waiting for Micah Parsons to return. The fact that they can lean on Xavier McKinney is a blessing. And the thing is, too, is of course he's not infallible, right? You can point to a play here or there where he has a missed tackle or, again, has a dropped interception. But 99.9% of the time, you know he is going to be at the right place at the right time. He is going to make that tackle. He is going to erase whatever mistakes might get made up front. It was a real treat watching kind of his season last year, going back and rewatching some of it earlier this offseason, and the coupling with Evan Williams and their interplay together and the way he has helped bring Williams along since he was drafted. You talk about a burgeoning star safety group. It's pretty incredible. You throw in, obviously, Javon Bullard in that mix and Ketan Oladapo. They're four deep at a position that, again, was a complete disaster about 3 years ago. It's a beautiful turnaround, and McKinney is the biggest reason for it. Absolutely love it. Can't wait for year three in a Green Bay Packers uniform. And again, quite the luxury and quite the almost necessity to have that back there, given all the questions up front, especially early on this season. Very excited for it. And I'm very excited to talk to all of you Packers fans worldwide. How you doing? Good to see you all. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at Ticket King. Ticket King has been based in Wisconsin since 1992. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. If you need Packers tickets, use the company based right across from Lambeau Field. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the description of this video or at cheeseheadtv.com. And you also know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. Injuries happen, but ThetaCare walk-in orthopedic care helps you recover like a pro. Don't let pain sideline you. With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, expert care is ready now. No appointment needed, just walk in. Learn more at thetacare.org/orthonow. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? How we doing? Jim, how are you, man? Drafting Williams, Bullard, and Oladapo worked out too. It most certainly did. You talk about a group that has come in and completely flipped the position. Absolutely outstanding stuff. Now, hopefully that's what works out there up front with the edge group. You know, they've thrown a bunch of resources there. Need that to start to come, you know, to fruition, so to speak. Joe, did you catch John Strong pleading with people who keep watching the World Cup even though the U.S. is out? I did not catch that, but that's certainly not directed at me because I'll be watching every single minute of every single match that I can. I know we're going to be kicking off second half of Colombia, Switzerland here in a bit. I'll be missing while we're live, but for the most part, man, I don't miss a match. I watch each and every moment of it. I can't believe there are no matches tomorrow. It's gonna be some depressing stuff not having a match on tomorrow. DJ, absolutely, man. What's up, Nags? This is my halftime show for the Colombia game. That's why I'm here. Obviously, doesn't have anything to do with my normally scheduled time on Cheesehead TV social channels. It's all about halftime for the World Cup. That's why I'm here. Danny, I think this is a very common refrain that I have heard throughout this offseason. St. Juiced and the kid, I believe you mean Cisse, can't get into the starting lineup fast enough. We need DBs like Captain McKinney and Evan Williams with actual ball skills patrolling the backfield. No question about it. It'd be nice to see them early and often. But it's not a given, though, right? I know, again, I heard from a lot of folks when, you know, the offseason program started and the media got to watch a practice or two and to see Carrington Valentine and yes, Keyshawn Nixon with the number one starting right off. I get it. You get flashbacks. You think about all the poor play, all the missed tackles, the touchdowns allowed, all the bad stuff, but there was good tape out there for both of those guys. Now, can St. Juiced, can Cisse get in at least into the mix early on, let alone into the starting positions? That's what camp will be about, right? I do think there's an opportunity there. I don't think anything is set in stone, especially when it comes to Valentine's position. But, you know, it is a process, and I do think it will take some time. I don't believe it's going to be, oh, hey, we need new blood. Let's just throw those guys in there. Now, what could potentially help them is the fact that they are running a new scheme and they are kind of starting over on the defensive side of the ball when it comes to personnel groupings, matching that with scheme. What do these guys do well? What do they want to kind of paper over or hide? You know, when Gannon's putting stuff together out there in the lab at training camp, maybe these guys take advantage of that situation, right? And it does require you to be assignment specific, assignment sound, make a play each and every day and make a case for getting out there with the ones. You know, they're not going to do it arbitrarily, but the opportunity is certainly there. And you have to think, if you can prove that you are doing the gig day in and day out and making plays each and every practice. Yeah. Now, the other component here that makes it a little bit more difficult is how little practice time there is now comparative to, you know, back in the day, so to speak. Like, you could have 20 practices to make your case and really kind of jump up the depth chart, as it were. Now you've got, what, 12 practices, you know, plus preseason games, obviously, though who knows how much each kind of unit will play in those. But yeah, there's no doubt the opportunity will be there. Just have to make the most of it. Joe, I saw that. Apparently, Tom Grossi found out today that he did the last 11 days of his tour with a broken rib. Like, are you kidding me? Having broken my rib, that's no joke. Shout out, Tom. He's a warrior. I know he keeps doing the good deeds and raising a ton of money for not just St. Jude, but a ton of very worthwhile charities. Tom, total warrior. Take a break, my brother. You got some time to rest up before training camp starts. Jerry, how are you, man? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. U.S. goalkeeper out there like Keyshawn Nixon making tackles. Oh, no. That's a decent analogy. I preferred Corey's analogy live on Twitter last night after it happened. He said that was Jarrett Bush not falling on the ball in the NFC Championship game. I swear, that play has probably scarred Corey more for life than anything else that he's ever seen. I don't think it helps that he was actually there, you know, when it happened. So I do believe that is burned into his brain, as it were. Joe, it would appear so, right? Is the round of 16 the ceiling for the United States men's team? I know I've seen a lot of pontificating about this today. You know, I'm no soccer expert. I am obsessed with the tournament. I love watching it every 4 years. I love watching the game in general, obviously Premier League mostly, but I would suspect, yeah, probably until there is some kind of culture shift, which I don't see happening anytime soon. Now, maybe because of the popularity of the Premier League, you know, everyone talks about MLS and a lack of a real developmental program, etc. But I do think because the Premier League and, you know, some other leagues as well have become a lot more popular in the United States, maybe that starts to push a real kind of groundswell of a youth development movement. But even with that, it's going to take a long time. You know, it is just a completely different avenue for players in this country as opposed to legit anywhere else in the world. So yeah, I don't see that groundswell changing happening anytime soon. Complicated. Why you got to go there? Was the U.S. goalie faux pas similar to the fumbled onside kick by the Packers in Seattle? Whoo, baby. It's close. It's close. Sure helped cost them the game. Ado, thanks for checking out the stream. Appreciate it. What would your thoughts be on Bullard taking snaps at corner? I'd be interested. You know, I know he essentially plays slot corner some of the time, right? I don't think he would be suited to a strict corner role, especially on the perimeter. But, you know, he's doing some of that already when it comes to sub packages, what have you, in the old defense. Now, how they deploy him, you know, in sub packages or whatever, you know, I tend to think we're probably going to see him more in a traditional safety role at times if Gannon stays true to a lot of the three safety stuff he's run in the past. But, you know, strictly as a corner, especially on the perimeter, I would be surprised if they went that route. You know, we've seen glimpses of this at times where they've played man in certain situations and it hasn't really worked out too well for Javon. Now, look, sometimes it's about matchups and they get a favorable one and, you know, anybody's going to look silly at times, given if dependent on the opponent, etc. But I think, you know, Javon's found a really good spot his first 2 years in the league. Talked about this a couple weeks ago here on Daily. I suspect he's going to continue to ascend at this, you know, near the line of scrimmage, more physical role, asked to do a lot of the dirty work in the run game, able to work in the slot at times, both as a corner and as a safety. But as a strict corner, I would be surprised if they went that route. I like it, Joe. Found out I agree with Adam Rank about something. Not sure how I feel about it. That's a tease for happy hour. You guys know Adam is a friend. I know his major fault is that he's a Bears fan, but he does get you guys going really, really well. You talk about a guy who is an expert troll. He knows how to make sure that, you know, he keeps that engagement up. You guys are easy marks. Let's put it that way. Oh, that's an interesting question, Stralev. Who will be the star lineman this year? If you mean like the one who, you know, gets his name in lights, I'm going to say Jagger Burton. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I think, as Matt LaFleur has already said, good chance he gets playing time this season at some point. And I think when he does, he is going to run away with it. That's where I'm at. Now, if you're talking about maybe on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, hopefully Devontae Wyatt from week one, they need him ASAP, especially while they're waiting for Micah Parsons to get back. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. Pass rush is important, but stopping the run helps to create situations that can lead to interceptions too. Absolutely. That's why the age old adage when, you know, you talk to defensive coaches is you got to earn that right. Earn the right to rush the passer. Got to eat those vegetables before you get dessert. Got to stop the run. You hear coaches say it all the time and we roll our eyes because it's very much a cliche at this point in life, but it all starts with stopping the run. Because if you can make them one dimensional, like you said, you can start to hopefully pick them apart a little bit and pin your ears back as a pass rusher, get that quarterback off the spot and create a little uncomfortableness in the pocket to maybe get force the ball out earlier than the quarterback would like. And then it's ripe for the picking. There's no doubt about the importance of stopping the run. And that's why when you talk about things like the cornerback battle, even, and we talk about this all the time in relation to the edge group, right? Like you've got to be able to set an edge and you got to be able to stop the run, etc. That is not too different at corner, especially on the perimeter, because you can take a 2 or 3 yard gain off tackle or a pitch sweep, whatever. And if that corner is there stout, making sure everything's driven back inside to his help, that is going to help your run defense. Whereas if you get blown off the ball, wide receiver throws you out the club, all of a sudden that 2 or 3 yard gain turns into a 10, 12 yard gain, or maybe even more. And that's what keeps you on the field, your ability to do that. You know, that is not to be overlooked in that battle this summer. When you talk about the cornerback battle, it is going to be a interesting component to follow, as it were. Oh, man, this is really, really kind. And I know I don't get a ton of engagement on Twitch. And sometimes I think, you know, maybe I should just stop streaming on Twitch. But I really appreciate this, NFOVCS234. What a handle. Yo, bro, love your stream. I love that you said that. Thank you so much, man. You can imagine in a world of the world of the internet where lots of folks like to reach out and give you crap about stuff and tear your opinions apart and say all sorts of monstrous stuff. I really appreciate that, man. I really do. Thanks so much for checking it out. Soder, what's up? Sweet mother of God, please stop with the catastrophic playoff plays that cost the Packers the game already. Even Eeyore number one has July negativity levels. Just keeping you on your toes, Soder. We can talk more about it on Happy Hour. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, thanks for the Discord, man. The Discord handle. I'll look it up. Let's connect. Let's play some Madden. It'll be fun. Mike Witt, how you doing, buddy? Hey, Nags, any idea when the next episode of Transplants is coming up? I need a Banky rant like I need air. Random Packer, Philip Epps. My first football card I got when I was a kid. I'm old. Philip Epps, Packers legend. Well, as you probably noticed, our annual chat with Brian Gutekunst at the end of the offseason got pushed. He still wants to do it, just couldn't line up the timing of it with the end of the offseason program. So hopefully we will be back, Packer Transplants, and joined by Brian Gutekunst either right before the start of training camp or during the start of training camp. But still planning to do it, still having it. But regardless of Goody's involvement or no, you'll definitely get a Transplants probably by the end of the month, would be my guess. So be patient. The Banky rant is coming, I promise. Mike Witt, thanks again, man. It's almost training camp season. I got to keep up my Eeyore number two ranking, Nags. Well, yeah, we got to hear you complaining about more stuff. Come on now. Mick Knight, it's possible, I guess. Stop the run equals Jonathan Ford. I'm hopeful, but you know, the idea that the Packers cut him once already, and then he was with the Bears, and the Bears cut him, and the Packers picked him up because they were desperate in the middle of their defense, doesn't bode well. You know, the idea that the former seventh-round pick is going to be the answer to your stuffing the run, you know, probably not. And if he is, that probably doesn't bode well long-term. They need to raise the floor there a little bit. And that's no knock on Jonathan, but hopefully they can find, you know, guys who are developing a little bit, maybe a Nazir Stackhouse, maybe the rookie, etc. They need a little bit more from that position, I would think. We are due a Super Bowl. Man, ain't nobody due for nothing except to take another breath and until they don't. Got to work at it. Got to make it happen. Oh, was that you, Paul? Thanks so much, man. Thanks for wearing the banner shirt yesterday. Reminded me I need to order one. Maybe you already did because I saw the email, because we get an email for every order, etc. And someone had ordered it right after I wore the shirt. And I was like, hey, promotion of motion. Who knew these things work? My goodness. Absolutely love it. But even if it wasn't you, thank you, man. Really appreciate when anyone, you know, gets any kind of Cheesehead TV merch. We really, really, really appreciate it. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. See you at happy hour. Go Pack, go.